Amy, choir. It's good to see you here this morning. Hey, this is one of them immersion mornings, wasn't it? It wasn't just sprinkling when I left home. It was coming down out there. It's good to see you here. Also, we are so glad to have Mr. Chad Buttry with us this morning. Chad's back on leave from his second tour in Afghanistan. So, Chad, it's good to have you with us here this morning. Chad's in the Marines. We appreciate what you do. We sure do. Your scripture's in the Bible this morning. In the bulletin. It better be in the Bible, hadn't it? But it's in your bulletin there. We've listed about four, so you might find the first one, and then sort of, if you run across the other, stick your finger in there. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to study your word this morning. And Father, we thank you for the guidance that you give us in life. We're going to look at four this morning. And Father, we know that if we could put ourselves in these four and do what you'd have us to do, we'd be so productive in our Christian life and so productive as a church. And we pray that we might be willing to do that. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sermon title this morning, one word, unless. Now, I don't really like that word, unless. There's usually something tied to that, isn't it? That goes along with it. Usually when you hear that word unless and somebody brings it to you, they're saying something needs to change. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in the scripture. You know, we see many faces of Jesus in the scripture. We see Jesus the healer as he came and he healed those people who were blind, those with withered arms, those who were lepers. He healed them. We look and we also see the compassion Jesus had. When he came and that woman at the well, when he met her and the woman that was taken in adultery, when he met her there and the compassion that came out of his heart. We also see the grace that he extended out to people and the gentleness he had even when the children came to him. And we see him as a father when the prodigal son comes back home and he welcomes the son back in and says, I forgive you, come on back in, you're part of the family. We see him as a shepherd who lost one sheep and went out in the storm until he found that one sheep. And then also we see him as the lady who lost the coin and he searched. All of these are great. And we look at that. But you know, Jesus had another side to him as well. We see him in the temple when he came in with a scourge and he drove them out of the temple that were the money changers there. We see him when he came by and saw a fig tree one day that didn't have any figs on it and he cursed the tree and the tree withered. And we see him today when he comes to us and says, unless you do something, something is going to happen or something will not happen. Now that word unless, I think that is a conjunction. It's not even a good noun or a pronoun or anything. It's a conjunction. But what it is, when Jesus used it, he used it as a point of judgment. Unless sets condition. Unless says things need to be changed. Unless gives us that consequences if we do not change. So we're going to look at four this morning where Jesus said unless in the scripture. First one is in Luke 13:3. He says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Unless you repent. Now the setting for that is he's been talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees didn't think anything about repentance. They thought if they did something bad, all they had to do is do more good things over here, and the bad would be wiped away, and the bad would be gone. Jesus says, no, there is such a thing as repentance. Now, repentance is not popular. It's not popular for people to hear sermons that are preached on repentance. But repentance is something that has to be done in our life. We have to get to that point where we come and we change our mind about God and change our mind about the things of the world. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is changing our mind. It's not bargaining with God because God doesn't bargain with you. It is not bartering with God. God doesn't barter. God has put it down, and that's exactly the way that it is. Now, it's hard to get people to admit that they're wrong. And you got to admit that you're wrong and that you agree with God that you're wrong before you're ever going to repent. Big difference between remorse and repentance. I would imagine that just about everybody in the prison down here, they've got some remorse. Probably most of them, their remorse is they got caught. It's not for what they did, but they've got remorse. Does that mean they've repented? Well, we see so many get out and they didn't repent too well, did they? Because the first thing you know, they're right back in again. It's hard to get people to admit they're wrong, and they need to repent. I heard the story about the family that lived on a little farm right out at the edge of the town there. Had three sons. There was Don, Ron, and Little John. And the father's name was Big John. And one day, Ron got bit by a rattlesnake. Well, they called the doctor, and the doctor came out, and the doctor looked at him. He said, "This is a pretty grave situation." He said, "I've done all I can do. I would suggest you call the preacher out here and let the preacher pray over Ron." So they called the preacher. He came out there, and they said, "Preacher, would you pray? Would you pray over Ron?" He said, "I sure will." So he started out his prayer, and he said, "Lord, we know that Ron, Don, and Little John are members of our church, but we ain't seen them in years, and we know the kind of life that they live. And so I want to come to you this morning. I want to thank you for that rattlesnake, that rattlesnake that bit Ron, that made him at least now think that he has a need for somebody to come and pray for him, and maybe he's going to repent. And Lord, I want to ask you something else. Can you send a rattlesnake out for John, Little John, and one out for Ron too? And Lord, if you got a great big one, send him down and let him bite Big John, because this family needs repentance in their life." You know, if we had to take a rattlesnake to bite us to repent of our sins and feel we were in danger, do you know it'd be worth it? Because what does he say in the scripture? If you don't repent, he said, you are going to perish. So even the bite of a rattlesnake, repentance is turning around. It's turning and going the other way. And repentance is when you come to God, you say, "God, I want you to forgive me of that sin," and you have no intention in your life of ever doing that sin again. A lot of people come to God and ask God for forgiveness, and they're already planning the next time they can go and do it. That's not repentance. He says repentance is being sorry for your sin, bringing it to God, confessing it to God with no intention of ever doing it again. And if you don't repent, what? He says, you'll perish. The next one comes out of John chapter 3. Of course, we know that's the story of Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 3. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, "Master, teacher, I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. What must I do?" Now, Nicodemus was a very religious person. Nicodemus was a person who kept every one of the laws. But we know what Jesus told him. Look at that third verse. He says, in reply, Jesus declared, "Now, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God," there's that word again, "unless he is born again." Unless he's born again, he said. Not unless he's regenerated, unless he straightens himself up. He says, nobody's going to see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You know, there's a big discussion about when does life begin. I heard about three preachers were sitting around discussing it one day, and one of them said, "No, life begins when that child takes the first breath." The other one said, no, life begins at the moment of conception. The other one said, "No, both of you are wrong. Life begins when the last kid moves out and their dog dies. That's when life begins." But you know, all of those are wrong. The Bible tells us life begins when? When you're born again. When you're born again. Now, you had a birth experience where you came into this world, but you really don't have life unless you've been born again. You really don't have the life. You know, W.A. Criswell, in writing in his book on heaven, he says in there about people, you know, you think sometimes, you think, well, people go to heaven, they'll get in heaven, and they'll be sad because a child that they had is not there, or a parent that they had is not there. And Criswell's analysis of all the scriptures, he says, "I believe that when you get to heaven, those people who never accepted Jesus will be wiped from your mind. It'll be as though they never existed because they were never born again, and in the eyes of God, they never had life." Now, I don't know. Maybe it'll come out that way. But if you want real life, it's going to come from being born again. Now, God's not interested in us doing better. We always, "Well, I'm going to do better." I mean, we just went through the new year. Some of you probably made some resolutions there to do better in this next year. God's not interested in us just doing better. God's not interested in us cleaning ourselves up. God's not interested in us in changing clothes. Peter tells us about that. When Peter tells us about the old sow, he said, that they took out of the mud pen, and you carry that old sow in. And you know, if you can elaborate a little on what Peter said, you can bring that sow in, you can put that sow in a new dress and put a hat on it, put a scarf around its neck. You can set it at the table, let it eat with you, feed it the very best food. But the minute that you put that sow down and open the door, where is it going? Right back to the mud, right back to the pen. Why? There was no change on the inside. You see, that's what being born again is. Born again is being changed on the inside. Jesus used an example about the wineskin. He said, you won't put new wine in an old wineskin. An old wineskin would have been one used and it got hardened, because when it begins to ferment, it's going to begin to expand. And he says, if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it's going to burst open. He went on to say also that when you're patching material, you don't take a new piece of material and patch an old piece of material with it, because when you wash it, it's going to draw up and it's going to pull loose. What he's saying is born again is something totally new, totally new. And he says, unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. Have you been born again, or you decide to do better one day? You decide to change your life. Well, I mean, if you decide to do better, that's great. You decide to change your life, that's great. But he says being born again is going to what will be letting you see the kingdom of heaven. All right, the next one there. Look, John chapter 12, verse 24. He says, but I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Three truths we see right in that. There is no glory whatsoever without suffering. There is no fruit without death. The seed has to die. And also, we must surrender unto God. He says about a seed. Now, I don't know if you've ever planted a garden or planted flower seeds, and you take that seed and put it down in the ground. And what happens to that seed? It dies. That seed rots away. And it does that so that it can produce a plant that can produce more seed. You gotta put it in the ground. It's gotta be. You know, the other day I was cleaning out my freezer and I looked in there, and I used to have a garden and all. I gave up farming a couple years ago, didn't ever did very good at it. But I found some seeds I'd put in the freezer, because I read somewhere that if you put the seeds in the freezer and keep them, then they'll be good for 2 or 3 years. Well, I don't know how long they've been in there, probably 4 or 5 years. But you know what? Every one of those seeds was still just one seed. Not a one of them had done a thing, because I didn't take them and put them in the ground. I didn't let them die to their self. You see, that's what we have to do. We have to die to ourselves, is what he's saying. Quit putting self first. Quit building your whole life around yourself, and begin to build it around Jesus Christ, and begin to build it around others. And when we live just for self, we're never going to die. We're never going to produce that fruit. We're never going to die to ourselves and be like that seed. You see, Christianity is different. The Bible teaches we get, how? By giving. We get by giving away. You know, over in the Holy Land, there's two seas over there, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Sea of Galilee, they catch fish out of it. They swim in it. Beautiful sea, fed by the Jordan River as it runs into the Sea of Galilee. But on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River continues and goes to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea stops. It doesn't go any further. It doesn't go down and supply anything else. And the Dead Sea is salty. It's nasty. It stinks. Why? Because it's just there for itself. The Sea of Galilee is just the Jordan River passing through. What kind of sea are you? Are you the one that's just living for yourself? Are you the one who says, listen, I want to live for others? That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about being a seed, willing to die to yourself like Jesus is willing to die to himself and to come and to serve us. I was reading an illustration this week, and it said in one of the Egyptian pyramids, they went in and they found in there a tree that had been put in with the person when that person had been buried there. And in this tree, of course, it withered away and it died, but it had a seed pod on it. They took the seed pod off of there. They estimated it probably was at least 2,000 years old. They carried the seed out and thought, would this seed ever grow? And they carried it out and planted it, and you know what? The seed grew. You're never too old to be a seed. You never are. If you'd just be willing to die to yourself, if you'd just be willing to be put in the ground like the seed is, if you're willing to do that, he says, you can produce much fruit. Are you a giver or a taker? Now, this world's made up of givers and takers. As Christians, we're to be givers, not just takers, not just always what we can get out of something. And when we get to that point in our life where we're ready to give, we're ready to die to self, then watch out. You're going to see that something's going to happen, and God is going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. All right, the next one is in John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit, what? Unless, he says, you remain in me. Now, you know that. The branch has got to be tied to the vine. I'm sure every one of you's yard is just like mine. There's limbs that have come out already this winter, and there'll be a whole lot more. Well, when I finally get around to picking them up sometime in the spring, you know what? Every one of them's going to be dead. Every one of them. Not going to have a bit of life. And why? Because it fell away from the tree. Same thing is true, he said. If we fall away from Jesus, unless we are attached to Jesus, we cannot produce fruit. Now, the key word there is if you abide in. That abide in meant have fellowship with. Do you really have fellowship with Jesus? It's very important that we be tied to that vine, that we have, his life can come and it can work through us and it can work in us. And we become more and more like Jesus when we find that we're tied to the vine and we're willing to be just a branch out here that's going to produce the fruit. Now, how do you tell when you're abiding in Jesus? Some people say, well, I just have this warm, fuzzy feeling here inside of me, and I know that means that I must be all right. No, that doesn't mean a thing. Does not mean a thing. When you are abiding with Jesus, there's going to be some evidence. He says you're going to bear fruit, first of all. Now, you're not going to be saved by bearing fruit, but if you are saved, you will bear fruit. So you're going to bear fruit. Another thing is you're going to experience God's pruning. Now, we don't like that, do we? When God comes and prunes us, you ever prune rose bushes or prune trees and fruit tree? You cut off things, don't you? God prunes us, and we don't like it. But if you're really attached to the vine, you're going to find that it's going to happen. You're going to get your prayers answered, the Bible says, when you stay attached to the vine. Not only that, but you're going to experience a deep love for Jesus Christ and a deep love for other people. You're going to love like Jesus. You say, those people are hard to love. Sure they are. But you can love them if you let Jesus love them through you. And not only that, you're going to experience a joy in your heart. Stay tied to the vine. Jesus wants to give you all of these fruit. And you strengthen that tie, and you strengthen that abiding when you come to worship, when you read your Bible, when you pray to God, and when you're willing to go out and to serve other people. That strengthens the abiding that we have where we are tied to the vine. You see, without Jesus, we are nothing in our Christian life. It's just like we have lights in here this morning. Why? Because we know somewhere there's a wire that goes out somewhere to a pole out there. And from that pole, it goes down somewhere else to one of these big towers. And from that, it goes all the way back to TVA somewhere. We've got electricity. But you know what? If it breaks down anywhere in there, then we don't have electricity because we've broken off from the vine. We've broken off from the source. And that's just the way we are. You got to stay tied to the source. Your power in life comes from Jesus Christ. I read a little illustration about a pastor talking. He said when he was young, one year he decided to put tomatoes out. He wanted to raise tomatoes, so he put them out. He said, every day I ran out there and checked them. He said, they didn't have any little tomatoes on them. They didn't have anything, just a big vine. He said, I looked out there one day and these huge tomatoes were on my vine. He said, I was thrilled to death until I went out there and looked. And when he went out there and looked, he found that his mother felt so bad for him, she went out and tied some tomatoes on his vine. And he said, you know, that is a whole lot like us. We are taking the fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, patience, all of those. We're taking those and trying to tie them onto an unchanged, unrepentant, unborn again life. And it won't work. You're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit until you repent, until you're born again, until you're willing to be changed and allowing Jesus Christ to come into your life. So Jesus says, unless you do this, unless, he says, you repent, you're going to perish. Unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're willing to become as the seed, you're not going to produce fruit. Unless you're willing to be tied to the vine and be that branch tied to him, then you're never going to experience what Jesus can experience in your life and what you can do for him. You see, what Jesus is talking about here, he is talking about not the fate that's coming on someone no matter what they do, but what he's talking about is the fate that comes from someone unless they do something, unless we do something. He's saying here, not I'm so bad on all of the things you've done, but he says, unless you're willing to do these things, then don't ever expect to experience the fruit in your life. When Jesus says unless, it means what? Change is about to come. Change. And if we don't, he gives us the consequences. I hope we'll listen to them. Go home and read those four scriptures again. Read them. And just pattern your life after them and realize the consequences if we don't do what Jesus has told us to do. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to come today and to study your word. We thank you, Father, for these things that you've given us and letting us know, Father, unless we're willing to do that, then, Father, we're never going to have all that you have for us to experience in life. We just pray that we might be willing to listen. We might be willing to change. We might be willing to repent. Be born again if we've never had that. There are those that are lost here today, Father. We pray that they'll experience that born again experience in their life. That we'll be willing to be buried as the seed. And Father, we never want to be detached from the vine. We want to have your power in our life. We just pray now that you'll guide us during this time of invitation. And we just pray that your will might be done. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.